Let's remain standing this morning as we turn to the book of Psalms one more time. Amen. And take our text today and preach the word of God that's been laid upon our heart for this wonderful Lord's Day. Isn't it a beautiful day God's given us? Want to rejoice and be glad in it, thank Him for it, praise Him for it, and trust that God will give us a good time together, okay, here in the Scriptures this morning. I want to preach a little bit out of Psalm 100 on a thought that the Lord gave me there, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. Hope I can help us a little bit as we run through this. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 100. Psalmist said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into the courts, His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good." Amen. "His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." What about that? What a wonderful psalm that is. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can read this lovely psalm today with assurance in our heart, Lord, that Your mercy endureth and Your truth to all generations. We want to thank the Lord for that. Thank You for Calvary making this day possible. Thank You, Lord, for the precious blood that was shed there for the remission of our sin, the suffering You endured. Thank You, Lord, for paying a debt that we could not pay. I praise Your precious name this morning for all that You've done in my life, for saving me, calling me to preach. I thank You for our people today here at Island Ford Baptist and those listening in. May Your richest and abiding blessings be upon each listener today, each home, family. I pray You'll save sinners, redeem those that are lost and without God, draw them unto Yourself. Whisper to them, Lord, words of kindness and love that they might be led to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, You have Your divine will and way in Your people and revive us that we might rejoice in Thee, provide power and liberty this morning for the preacher that I might preach. And may You have all the honor and all the glory in it. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. I want to read once again out of verse number 3 where David said here, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Now, I want us to take special notice to this next statement that is made in this verse, where it said, "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Amen. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, amen, and the sheep of His pasture. Well, there's a lot of things I could preach on out of that verse. I could preach on joy and happiness and rejoicing and one thing and another and praising the Lord. Amen. And they'd all be in order. And I may mention some of those as I go along. But I want to look at that verse number 3 this morning, the fact that He hath made us and not we ourselves. Amen. And simply preach along the lines, and I won't use this topic much, but preach along the lines of the fact that we are God's workmanship. He hath made us, He hath made us, and not we ourselves, okay? Now, you know, I've been preaching through these psalms, and it's been a series of 7 psalms. And this psalm completes the series of what most people call the royal psalms. And it may be regarded as a doxology, which closes the strain. We find lingering in this the notes of the same great harmony that we found in all the rest of these psalms. There is words of thanksgiving. Boy, we ought to be thankful today, should we not? We've got a great deal to thank the Lord for. I'm going to tell you, it'd take us a long time if we had just paused for a while and begin to thank God for what He's done in our life and in our own family, what God's done for us and what God has done through us and to us and how God is blessing and helping us. And then there lingers the notes of joy, and it's still in this. It closes still in this psalm, joy. Well, we ought to be a joyful people. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul said. And again, I say rejoice. Anytime we know that we've been saved, or anybody that knows they've been saved, ought to have some joy in the Lord. I mean, thank God we have been lifted from the depths of sin and from a burning hell and birthed into the family of God. We're going to enjoy the bliss of heaven for all eternity. That's something that to give us real joy in our heart. And then there's praise there. There's praise in here. Runs through all the entire seven psalms. And we've got a lot to praise Him for. We're a long way behind on praising God. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And again, Paul said, or the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. Then he said, amen. Hallelujah. And so if you got breath this morning, you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God. And that's right. I know that's right. Now, all these are offered to God, He is a merciful God who has blessed us abundantly. It breathes the same gladness. It is filled with the same hope that all nations shall bow down to Jehovah and confess that He is God. And then all of these psalms in this collection raises to the highest pitch of gladness. Praise God, I'm telling you, we ought to be glad this morning. They got a great deal of gladness in them, and it breathes out the broadest spirit of charity and expresses the highest mode of devout joy. On the ground of our common humanity, as the children of, listen carefully, of a Creator Father, all men are summoned to exalt and the worship of the Lord. All men. All men. That first verse said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's referring to everybody. I mean, if a man has been, if God has granted a man birth into this world, he ought to be praising the Lord for what God's done for him, for giving him life. And then if you're saved, you really have something to rejoice about. He's not only giving you that life, but He's giving you that life more abundantly. And there's words here. We are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It says in verse number 1. And we are to serve the Lord with gladness. It says in verse number 2. You know, when we do things for God, we ought not to serve Him because we feel like we're a slave to Him. And we certainly ought not to serve Him and mully grub around because we have to do it. Our service to God ought to be one of joy. You know, really what we're doing here at WSOF Radio and WAJJ Radio, we're serving the Lord. We ought to be able to serve Him with a glad spirit and a joyful heart. Amen. It is a blessing to be a servant of the Lord. I can take you to Psalm 18 and read you the title of that psalm, where at the time it was written, David was king over all Israel. He was an old man, but he said there that he was glad that he was a servant. He started it out, David, a servant of the Lord. He felt it a greater honor to be a servant of God than to be a king over that vast domain. Now I'm telling you, you and I today are to serve the Lord with gladness. It is an honor, hallelujah, to be His servant. And then we're to sing in His presence. Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes we come to church and our heart just don't have that song that it ought to have, does it? And we just don't feel like singing much. But I'll tell you, we ought to sing unto the Lord. There's a lot of us that come and sing, but I wonder if we're really singing unto the Lord. I mean, we don't come here to sing that we might worship man in our song. But we come here to sing unto the Lord. Amen. And sing of His glory. Sing of His blessed power that He has to redeem the souls of fallen men. And then we're not only to sing with gladness, but we're to sing in His presence, it says there, also in verse number 2. And we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving. I wonder how many of us come in this morning, the doors, thanking God for what He'd done in our life. You know, there's a lot of people who couldn't get out of bed this morning to walk through those doors. There's a lot of people this morning laid up here in the hospital that would love to be here. There's a lot of folks this morning laid up at home sick that would like to be in the house of God. But you and I, God's granted the health and the strength and the ability to be in the house of God. And because of health, we ought to come through those doors thanking God for the privilege of being in the house of God. And singing in His presence, amen, and serving Him this morning in gladness, amen. Hallelujah, that's exactly right. I know that's right, amen. Now, the Bible said we're to enter His courts with praise. When we come in His gates, was we thanking Him? When we come out here into the court, was we praising Him? I take that to mean the outer and the inner court. I take that to mean that outer court where all the priests went, that we're to praise Him there. But I also, if the courts is plural, and when we get in that inner court behind the veil, we ought to praise Him there as well, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm telling you what a joy it is. What a joy it is to come into God's presence with a joyful heart and a glad spirit, praising the Lord, and then to get behind that veil in the presence of the glory of God and continue with that joyful heart, singing unto Him that loved us and saved us by His marvelous grace. But the reality of our praise to the Lord as our Creator Father, I mentioned that earlier, as our Creator Father seems to focus around verse number 3. The Bible said there once again that it is He that made us, and not we ourselves. Now, I want you to try to get a hold and follow me in your Bibles, please. We may not preach fast and hard, but we're going to give you some truths out of the Word of God. I'll guarantee you on that. Hallelujah. He made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I want to mention four ways this morning that God has made you and I, that we are His workmanship. In Him making us in this manner. May I say, and I'm going to say some things that I have never seen before, especially in this first point, that I've never seen before in my entire life till I studied this message out. But I want to say, first of all, that He has made us, or He made us at conception. It wasn't we ourselves that made us. And I won't say this, and I don't say this in an ugly way, but contrary to popular belief, it really wasn't even our mom and daddy that made us. It was God that made us and not we ourselves. Boy, I tell you, if you can get over that, I want you to look in Psalm 139, a very familiar passage to a lot of us. I'll read the verses, then I'll give the points. Psalm 139 and verse 13. The psalmist David there says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully," and here it is, "wonderfully made." I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made, there it is again, in the secret, and in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I hope we can get a hold of that. I'm going back to that verse in just a little bit. I will say He made us at our conception. Now, when He made us, He distinguished us from all others. Look at verse number 14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. God made us and distinguished us from everybody else. May I? And I'm glad He did. I want you to look around this morning and see if there's anybody in this building that looks exactly like you do. I mean, it's an amazing thing that there's literally 7.5 billion people in this world. And I guarantee you, to some degree, even those they call identical twins have some distinct fashion about them that separates them one from another. I marvel how God has distinguished you and I in our conception from everybody else. Hey, I can't be you and you can't be me and you can't be somebody else. That's why we ought to preach that people ought to be what God has made you. Amen. Don't try to be somebody else. Be what you are, what God has made you to be and not somebody else. If He'd have wanted you to be like somebody else, He'd have made you like them. But He made you like you are. Hallelujah to God. And so He has distinguished us from all others. Now, boy, this one is really going to get us. It got me. It got me. Boy, look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I want to say a couple of things before I tell you what that verse means. The word curiously wrought. I've read in that Bible about how some of the garments of the high priest were curiously wrought. I've read where things of the tabernacle and so forth was curiously wrought. And boy, I got to studying that out. And curiously wrought simply means that it was made with diversified colors. That it was knitted in such a way. That's what it means, knitted together. And there were diversified colors within that piece of garment that they were making. And I believe what God is telling us here, that we're not only distinguished from all other people, but we are even diversified. God diversified us in our colors. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you don't mean that. I'm here to tell you, friend, I didn't have one thing to do with being birthed in America. I didn't have one thing to do with being birthed from my parents. I didn't have one thing to do with being birthed as a white American male. God, hey, come on now. In our conception, God made all of us what God wanted us to be, and God made us the color that God wanted to make us. That ought to cast some new light on the different colors and races within the world. God could just as easily have made you a Chinese. God could have made you an American red man, an Indian, but He didn't. God could have made us whatever He wanted to. But He distinguished us from everybody else, and then He diversified us in our color. Aren't you glad? Hey, that tells me that God loves all men and all races of men. Brother, you'd be amazed at people down south, and I'm serious when I say this. I've talked to some of them. There's men in the south that don't even believe a black man's got a soul. And I'm telling you, God made them that way. That's what that Bible says. And the curious, fearfully and wonderfully made in the secret places, and curiously wrought. Curiously wrought. Amen. Diversified in their colors. And then I want to say, boy, this one blows my mind in our conception. That He designed us before we were. Now, if you can get a hold of it, I can't get a hold of it. But He designed us before we were. Somebody said, preacher, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned in His book, when as yet there was none of them. Boy, can you get a hold of that? That Bible tells me that before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb, that God fashioned me, had all of my parts put together in His book before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb. Boy, I'm telling you, we serve a glorious and a wonderful God, ladies and gentlemen. I'm amazed. Hey, we are, you get hold of this, we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made by the grace of God. What a God we have today that, hey, that can conceive us in our mother's womb and make us whatever He wants to make us in that womb. God made us and not we ourselves. Therefore, we oughtn't to gripe about what we are. No, sir, we oughtn't to gripe about what we are. God made us. Amen, that's right. I read an article the other day, I may have told you this. A fellow made an article, wrote an article in the newspaper here in town, but he's not from in town, griping about Sammy Sosa putting cream on his face. Said he was ashamed to be a black man from the Dominican Republic. That he wanted to be white. And you hear that all the time. That these black men are wanting to be white. That's all. And you hear about it a lot. But what about these white people that burn their bodies up in tanning booths trying to be black people? Come on in the house. If God would have wanted a black man white, God could have made him white. And if God wanted a white man black, God should have made him black. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made and curiously wrought in the secret parts of the earth. God made us what God wanted us to be. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got news for you. You had nothing to do. I don't want to leave none of these out. I did not decide what womb would carry me. I didn't tell God that I was going to be born in Mary Hall's womb. I had nothing to do in the matter. God made me. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. I couldn't decide what I wanted to look like. Brother Jerome told me the other day, I put on a pair of sunglasses and said it looked like Burt Reynolds. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But there's not a one of us in here had anything to do with what we look like. I'm telling you what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is saying we ought to praise the Lord. And we ought to thank God that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're diversified and different, and we're not all alike. God made us what God wanted us to be. Hallelujah. Because He did, we ought to thank Him. Amen. That's right. I didn't tell God what I wanted to look like, neither did you. God said, I want to make this person look this way, and this person look that way, and this person look. I'm going to make one skinny, I'm going to make one big, make one tall, one short. Come on now. I'm going to put freckles on somebody's face, somebody's face, I'm not.
And when some of them grows up, they're going to be bald-headed, and others grows up, they're not.
Yep.
Amen. Some men's going to have hair on the chest, and some ain't.
Amen.
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 Thank God. I'm telling you, God made us look like what God wanted us to look like.
Amen.
And yet we always want to change ourselves, don't we?
Amen.
We're not satisfied with being what God made us. Always wanting to be something different. I heard the other day how many billions of dollars on insurance is spent on these rich women that get these needle shots to get the wrinkles out of their face and get little warts cut off their face and one thing or another. But when I was a boy growing up, you as a woman had a wart on your face, you just had a wart on your face.
Amen.
You had a wrinkle, you had a wrinkle.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, they think it's a catastrophe today for a wrinkle to come in a person 70 years old. What do they think they ought to have when they get 70 years old? I'm going to tell you what they're going to have. Bless God, they're going to have wrinkles. In fact, they're going to have wrinkles on top of wrinkles. Then they go and have these facelifts, and some of them look like Chinese. Come on in the house now. Now, I don't mean to sound ugly, and I'm not, but God made you what He wanted you to be. And get a hold of this. Now, I don't mean to sound ugly, but all these ladies run around all the country wanting to have breast implants. They don't want to grow old. They want to stay young. But I'm telling you, there is grace in growing old. And there are blessings in growing old. Take my word for it. There are some blessings I've got as an old person. Hey, I did not have as a young person. For instance, if somebody gives me lip, I've got a better opportunity to tell them how I feel about it being an old man than I would a young man. They probably won't smack me as old as I am, but if I was young, they might knock me down. Amen. Old age has got its privileges. These ladies that are going through all that, I wonder who they're doing it for. Come on now. Amen. If we had ever learned, you know, some of these women doing it, some of these men, they'd ever learn that as they grow old, both of them are they going to begin to wrinkle and sag and drag.
Amen.
Amen. And they ought to live together in love and harmony, ladies and gentlemen. God made you that way. God designed you that way. God distinguished you in that way. God made you in conception what you are and what He wanted you to be. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. Therefore, let's come into the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving in the house of God, with praise in our lips, because it's God that made us and not we ourselves. Woo! I'm glad that I've been made by God. He is my maker. He's my maker, friend. Amen. That's right. Now, listen carefully. He not only distinguished us from all others, and He diversified us in various colors and designed us before we were.
Amen.
But He delivered me, or delivered us, at the time of His choosing.
That's right.
This was done by the Lord that our purpose in life might be fulfilled.
Amen.
I've heard preachers say, boy, I wish I lived back in Spurgeon's day. I'm glad I live today. Can you just stop a minute and get a hold of that? God, not only when He made us what He wanted to be, God made us when He wanted us to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about some wisdom in a God. That makes so many diversified people distinguished from everybody else in some way or another. And there's a God in glory that made us and can bring us into this world at what time He wants us to be here. May I say our times are in God's hands, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. I want to put it like this. God may brought us to this very hour that we're living in today, that His purpose might be fulfilled in our life. Amen. And we ought to, somebody says, I wish I'd lived in better times when things were better in the house of God. We better come through that door thanking God and rejoicing that God made us now, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get worse down the road. We ought to be glad we're like we are now. And when we are now. Amen. Some of you young kids in here, listen to me. You can't wait till you get this old and that old. You can't wait till you get 16. Boy, I wish I was 16, I'd get my driver's license. Man, I wish I was 21, I could do this. I wish I was 18, I could join the army. Get out from under all this authority. You think you're going to join the military and get out from under authority? You're an idiot. Oh, I can't wait till I'm old enough to get married. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're wishing your life away. You'll get old soon enough. I got to thinking the other day, do you realize if I lived as long as what I've been pastor of this church, I'd be 85 years old when I die.
Amen.
I doubt seriously that I'll make it. Might live to be 100.
Amen.
Whatever God wants is all right with me.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, I don't know what I got 22 more years left in me.
Amen.
Or listen, amen. I read all the time people dying 70, 71, 69, 68 years old, 65 years old. Are you here? Hey. Listen to what I'm saying? God made us when He wanted to make
Amen.
Us. He brought us into the world for a purpose.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, we better find that purpose God wants for us in our life and work toward fulfilling that purpose. Hey, and by the way, and finish the course that God's given all of us. Somebody said, I'm not a preacher, I don't have a course. You blooming idiot if you believe that. Every saved man, woman, boy, and girl has got a purpose in life, and you better find that purpose. By the way, that purpose is called the perfect will of God. You better find that perfect will of God and live in that perfect will of God. That includes finding the perfect mate, living in the perfect place, going to the church where you ought to be attending.
Amen.
That's right. All this crowd out here and this bunch of liberal messes.
Amen.
You think God wants them there? I don't.
Amen.
They've missed a goose somewhere down the line. Now, He made us at conception. I'm trying to hurry. I'll say number two, He made us again at our conversion. He made us again. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
A new creature. He's been created again. In other words, he's been made again.
Amen.
He's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, and I preach on this guy a lot, but I'm telling you, he's got to be one of my favorite guys in the book, and I can't help it. But I preach on him so often, you're all going to get tired of hearing it. But I think about that maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. Amen. That what a difference God made in that man's life. There he was in the tombs, day and night, crying out, cutting himself with stones. No man could tame him. They had tried to chain him, and chains couldn't hold him. And I tell you, when Jesus came along, ladies and gentlemen, and he got converted, hey, amen, there was a change in his life. Amen. When God made him anew in conversion.
Amen.
That's right. How many of us should thank God for that?
You know, somebody's going to make me mad here in a minute. Hey, listen, verse number 15 in that chapter number 5. Turn there with me. Mark chapter number 5. Said, and when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Well, you know, God just showed me something out there I'd never seen before. Never seen it before. We've always preached about him having that legion of devils in him. But you read what that verse of Scripture just said. That verse of Scripture said, he that was possessed with the devil, singular, and had the legion, plural. Oh, that tells me that big boy was in him. Big devil was in him. You better believe he was. But they found him in his clothes, sitting at the feet of Jesus' clothes, and in his right mind. Oh, what a change. May I say, that is attitude change, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, when I got saved, my attitude toward everything began to change. My attitude toward the church and my attitude toward sin, my attitude toward Christ, my attitude toward people, my attitude toward my wife, my attitude toward my family, everything of that, my attitude began to change. Did they not miss all? We tell these, I've heard some of you parents tell you children, want an attitude adjustment? That's what Jesus gave me when he converted me. A real good attitude adjustment. Woo! You talking about a bad attitude, boy. I had a bad attitude.
Amen. I did too, Brad.
I carried a chip on my shoulder. Amen. And would dare you to knock it off.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, when I got made again,
yes.
When Christ converted me, it is he that made me. Can you imagine? There is a man that is untamable. He's a wild man. He's a maniac. Nobody can control him, buddy. But I'm telling you, when Jesus passed by and placed his hand on her, that devil had to flee. That legion had to flee. That old boy got the right kind of clothes on, sat out at Jesus' feet, and had the right mind. His attitude changed. Why, he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus told him to go home to his people, and he did. He didn't argue, fuss, fight about it. He just done what Jesus told him to do. And I'm telling you, when people's attitude's right, they don't fuss and argue and fight. They just simply do what Jesus says. Amen. May I say, his appearance changed. One point it says he was naked. It said when them people come out, he was clothed. I believe God's people ought to wear clothes. Now I'm talking about clothes that cover the body.
Amen.
I'm not talking about slits up to your tail end, ladies. I'm not talking about low necklines where everything in the world is revealed. I'm not talking about mini skirts. By the way, men, I'm not talking about tank tops. Ain't nobody want to see that one hair you got on your chest. Nor do I want to see that chain hanging around some of them's neck. I certainly don't want to see your old knobby ugly knees. Put on a pair of pants.
Amen.
He was naked. That don't mean he was naked and went and got a pair of thongs and put them on. He got clothes. Come on. You've heard that before. There ain't no need to blushing about that. That's the worst your little ears ever hear. You'll be all right. He didn't have on a pair of Bermudas. He had clothes on. Amen. So his appearance changed. Now I guarantee you, the appearance on his face changed. He wasn't sad sack and hateful anymore. You ever seen these people? I mean, always just hateful. They just bite somebody. Show you how mean I am. Just got to bite your ear off, Leroy.
Preach, preach.
I want everybody to know I'm bad mean.
Mean bad.
I'll guarantee you the guy was as humble as...
That's right.
As, that, as humble pie. He was meek and quiet.
Amen.
Tender-hearted. Everything about him changed. Why? Because the Lord had made him. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. I'm telling you right now, that old maniac did not have one thing to do with what Jesus done for him. Salvation is all of the Lord. It was God that done it and not him. Amen. People try to reform, make themselves right. You can't do it.
That's right.
Boy, it takes Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! It takes Jesus.
Amen.
He makes us.
Amen.
It's He that has made us. Now I'm going to tell you. You can look back on your life. By the way, his actions changed. He said, Lord, let me go with you. I won't go where you're going. The Lord said, no. He said, I want you to go back to your family, back to your friends, back to your city. And I want you to tell them what good things the Lord has done for you. Hey, he went from torment to tranquility.
Amen.
He was in torment, but he found peace with the Lord. Hey, he went from a wild man to a witness.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You're talking about being made anew. And what the psalmist wants us to realize is that God made us anew at conversion.
That's right.
And because those things have passed away and things have become new, we ought to come in those doors out there with thanksgiving.
Amen.
We ought to come into His court with joy.
Amen.
And praise, hallelujah.
Amen.
For where He's brought us from, what He's done in our heart and our life.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. We don't live there anymore. Song said, yesterday I went back to the place where I used to live. My little boy went and ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, never fear. You got a brand new daddy. I don't live here anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. He went back to the places where he used to go. Saw the same old people he saw before. But he found out he was glad he don't go to those places no more. There's a joint in Scottsburg, Indiana. Every time I drive by, just a little old square joint. It's I don't know what it is now. I forget what they made out of it. But it used to be a liquor store. I'm telling you, I couldn't count the times on my fingers and toes and all the hairs on my head. I pulled up front and run inside and got what I wanted and come out. But you know what? When I pass by that place anymore, I just... You know why I don't go there anymore?
Amen.
I can tell you why I've been made anew.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad I'm not a drunk. Praise God, I'm glad Jesus made me a new and converted. I'm not a drunk anymore. Praise God, I can draw a sober breath and thank God it's all of Him, not of me. He done it. It's the Lord that made us and not we ourselves. Ain't He a wonderful God?
Amen,
amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
His affections changed. He prayed Him in verse 18 that He might go with be with Him. And His afflictions changed. Can you imagine how afflicted this man was and changed? And cut himself. His mind was so deranged. He cut himself with stones and cried all night long. Didn't have a friend in the world, not
Amen.
One. Had nobody to sit down and talk to. And his mind was so deranged. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus made him anew, the afflictions of his soul was healed.
Amen.
Can And I tell you this morning that God has healed our afflictions. Our soul is no longer afflicted with guilt. Thank God, the guilt of the past is gone. I'm glad that I can listen to the judge's voice cry, "Not guilty." Amen. Glory. I got to hurry. May I say that He is making us through consecration. He's making us through consecration. God is working on us. Listen to what He says in Jeremiah 18. He said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and he wrought. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in his hand of the potter. So he made it another vessel." How did he make it? "As seemed good to the potter to make it. The Lord hath made it. And he made it as it seemed good to him to make us." And by the way, he is making out of us. He is consecrating us. Oh yes, he is sanctifying us and making out of us a vessel that he wants us to be. We can't be somebody else. I can't be another preacher. I can't act like another preacher. I've tried before and made a fool out of myself, but I realize just be old Brother Hall. That's all I'm going to try to be.
Amen.
But he said, hey, he marred that clay. And he said, yeah, I'll just tell you what I'm going to do. Clay was marred, so he just made, get this, it. That little word, it, what do they call that? That refers back to another word, one of you English scholars. Huh? A what? Yeah, I know it's a pronoun, but they've got a word that's not one of the parts of the speech. That is, it refers back to another word. That it's the same, huh? An antecedent. There you go. It's an antecedent. Yeah. What's it refer back to? It refers back to the clay that was marred. It. He made it. What did he make it? He made it again. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that potter didn't throw away the clay?
Amen.
Aren't you glad when you came into the world a sinner? Amen. God didn't throw you away, but God made Amen. You again.
Amen.
Praise God, a vessel that He wants you to be.
Amen.
I'm glad that it's God that made us
Amen.
And not we ourselves.
Amen.
Thank God He didn't take that old Mark Clintale. This is old Hall. He's found up. Get rid of him. Potter said, no, wait a minute. Said he's marred. But I'll tell you what, put him back on the wheel. I'm going to make something out of him this time. I want him to be. Devil got a hold of him and made him what he wanted him to be. Marred him. He's got sin there. And he's marred for life. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a sanctifying, consecrating process on him. And I'm going to make a vessel out of him that I want him to be. You know, Paul said in the book of Timothy, he said, in every great house, there are both vessels of gold and of silver, of wood and of earth. And there are vessels to honor. And there are vessels to dishonor. If a man will purge himself from these, he'll be a vessel of honor, prepared and meet for the master's use. Oh, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying he's making us a vessel that he can use in a way that he chooses. And we're all not cut out for the same thing. We're different. Everybody's not a preacher. Everybody's not a carpenter or a bricklayer or a tile layer.
Amen.
Or a kung fu artist.
Everybody don't operate bulldozers and backhoes and drag lines or whatever they are. Everybody don't sit at home and do nothing. Some of us has got a little short brown hair, some of us got a little short black hair. Some of us got hair we comb back. Some don't have very little at all. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God's making us a vessel that He wants us to be. He's got us on that wheel and He's shaping and molding us and making us a vessel, hey, that pleases Him. It don't even have to please you, friend. As long as it pleases Him. And as long as, hey, and by the way, as long as God is pleased with me, what do I care what somebody else thinks about me? I want people to think well of me, but if they don't, as long as God thinks well of me, that's all I care about. Had a person to call me last night. Said, Brother Hall, I defended you today. I said, well, I'm grateful for that. Said, as a person come by here, said they argued with me and told me that you believed and preached and said hundreds of times that you believed a preacher had to be present when somebody got saved. That they had to be right there with them, right where they was at when they got saved. You know, I've never said nothing like that. You know what? When this person told me that, you know what I said? I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said when men will accuse you falsely, said rejoice.
Amen.
Great your reward in heaven.
Amen.
Let the heathen rage. Let them talk. Amen. Worry me. As long as God's pleased with what I'm doing. Amen. Boy, God's making out of me what I care what somebody else thinks.
Amen.
I want them to think, well, but if they don't, Brother Josh, they just don't. That's their problem, not mine.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to hurry now. He's making some to honor, some to dishonor. Now I'm going to read this. Now I know it's going to bury some of you, and some of you is really going to label me, but it's in the Bible. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for Himself.
Amen.
Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil.
Amen.
The Lord hath made us, and not we ourselves.
Amen.
I ain't saying no more, and I'm just saying it's there. He's shaping us, shaping our lives as a vessel. He's sanctifying our lives through chastisement. I don't have time to turn there and read this morning. Hebrews 13:5. Talks about the Lord chastening us. Verse 10 talks about it's for our profit, that we might be partakers of God's holiness.
Amen.
You realize it's a blessing to be chastened.
Amen.
When God chastens us,
right,
He's making something out of us.
Amen.
He's making us holy.
Amen.
You get a hold of that, we ought to rejoice. What the psalmist is saying, God is making us holy when He chastises us. Therefore, enter that gate out there with thanksgiving and come into this court with joy and praise. That's what He's saying. Somebody said, how can you do that when the lash is laid to you? Buddy, it ain't easy. That's what God said to do. Amen. That's right. He is making us into His likeness through trials and sufferings. Hebrews 2:10-5:8-9. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through sufferings. Now, somebody said, well, I want to be like Jesus. Do you really? I'm just telling you, if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to suffer some. You're not going to get there any other way. I say this in all honesty. You're going to have to fight the same battles He fought.
Amen.
You're going to have to contend with the same trials He contended
Amen.
With. You're going to have to walk through the same suffering that he went through. Come on now. I'm not talking about being crucified, but you'll suffer if you're going to be like him. Amen. And by the way, God is conforming every one of us into the image of Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said, I ain't never suffered. Ready or not, here it comes. It may be mental suffering. It may be physical affliction. It may be by false accusations from out there. I mean, the devil, friend, can come in on all angles. And the Lord can come in from all different ways to create us into the image of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. When he goes to purging and pruning, it gets to biting and hurting. That old sin gets out of our lives. He'll never take one sin out of your life if he don't fill your life up with something good. Woo! Wee, wee, wee. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He took sin out of my life, and look what I got now. Look at my family. Praise God, a man as young as I am, good looking as I am, and everything. Got 17 grandchildren, one great grandchild. Woo! God has blessed me.
Amen.
In spite of Doug, God has blessed me.
Amen.
I'll leave you alone this time. I love them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to say lastly, God's still making us, and some of these days, He will make us a quickening spirit.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get a hold of this verse that I've never gotten a hold of before. And I hope you will. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Why don't you read it with me?
Amen.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made. There's my thought. Was made a living soul. God breathed into his nostrils. Breath of life, and it became a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
Who is that last Adam? Made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
Now, are we sure that last Adam was Jesus? Somebody help me here a minute. I want to make sure I'm right before I say this. Bear with me here just a minute. I know it wouldn't be in here. Where does it say that at? Huh? 1547. What does that say? Read that verse, Brother Jerry. Does it say the last Adam? The second. That's not what my text says. My text says the last Adam. Not the second one. Verse 45 says the last Adam. Jesus is not the last Adam. He's the second Adam. I'm going to tell you who the last Adam is. We were made the first time a living soul.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you the next time we're going to be made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Son, there's coming a day when God's going to make us a spiritual body.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, I could shout over that and shout all day long.
Amen.
Ain't no doubt about it.
It says it is sown in corruption.
Right.
It is raised in incorruption.
Amen.
Now, can I throw one in on you? I want everybody to get this now. This is a nugget, boys. And if you don't want it, that's all right. Throw it over your shoulder and let somebody else have it. But I've always preached that the old man Adam, when we got saved, died. And I've always preached that old man Adam was an old nature, and the old nature died. And we always carried around this body. Isn't that right? This body is still sinful.
It hurts.
Yeah. But here's something. Here's something I got the other night from Charles Spurgeon, and he wasn't even talking. He just brushed on, brushed by on. And here's what he said. He said that old carnal nature is dead.
Amen.
Get this now. And he said, anything that died is corrupt.
Amen.
He said, therefore, that corruption,
right. That
corruption that we're carrying around is old man Adam.
Amen.
Dead, corrupt within us. That's why he's going to be sold. Amen. The first Adam's going to be sold in corruption.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, that last man Adam, it's going to be raised in incorruption.
Hey,
hallelujah. What a blessing.
Hey,
that old dead Adam's gone forever when God raises
him. Hey.
Now, I'm not dogmatic on that, but I think I'm right. Be a lot of men would argue with me about it. But if we've still got the possibility of sin, that means something's still hanging around. And I believe it's corruption. Old Adam died, but his corruption ain't never left us. I believe that's what Paul was getting at when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Right. Amen.
Amen. Sown in dishonor, that is disgrace, it was raised in glory, raised in dignity. Was sown in weakness, it was frail and feeble, it was raised in power. It was raised as a miracle, raised in might,
Amen.
Raised as a wonderful work. It was sown a natural body.
Amen.
And raised a spiritual body.
Good.
It is He that made us. And not we ourselves.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, if God made us in all four of those ways, He wants us to come through that
Amen.
Gate with thanksgiving. And into this court with joy. Pray.
Amen.
That's a fact. Let's stand together.